Well, in front of you or near you, or on your smartphone, or your own Bible, we're looking at Jeremiah chapter 6, and that can be found on page 763. Jeremiah chapter 6. And I'm going to actually start over the page at verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, you nations, you who are witnesses, observe what will happen to them. Hear, you earth, I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their schemes, because they have not listened to my words and have rejected my law. What do I care about incense from Sheba or sweet calamus from a distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable. Your sacrifices do not please me. We'll stop there and let me pray before we look at these words together. Father God, some really hard words to hear this morning. And I pray that you would help us understand these words, but not just understand them in our head, but that you would speak to our heart, that we would hear you speak, and that we wouldn't just nod our heads, but that we would turn these words into action in our lives. Amen. I want you this morning to think back over some crossroads moments that you've had. I'm not talking about the TV program. That was a terrible program, wasn't it? Sets would wobble, etc. Different things, crossroads in your life. So maybe it was choosing the options, GCSEs, A-levels, a career, what career path to go on. Maybe a life partner, a husband, a wife, where you should live, a house, a flat, a bungalow, a caravan, a tent. We are filled with crossroads moments all through our life. All through our life, we have these crossroads moments. But every day, we are faced with a crossroads moment that is bigger than a GCSE, an A-level, a career, whatever else might be that crossroads moment. And this is the crossroads moment that we face every day. Am I going to go my way? Or am I going to go God's way? Am I going to go my way? Or am I going to go God's way? See, if we do not consider this question at the crossroads, am I going my way or am I going God's way? Our automatic default position virtually every time will be to go our own way. The Bible says this, and we know this as well. The Bible talks about and speaks about quite clearly about our rebellion. The Bible uses a word which we don't use in everyday language so much today, but the word is sin. And all of us, at the heart of who we are, is that we are rebels. We are rebels. We are sinners. And we will, as Frank Sinatra sang, do things our way in one form or another. Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke God's word to a people who were rebels, who were sinners, says the following. As Jeremiah speaks on behalf of God, he says this: obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Do everything as I say, and all will be well. Jeremiah 7, verse 23. If you do as I say, all will be well. We want the well bit, but doing what God says, that's the challenging bit. Therefore, and likewise, Jesus speaks to his disciples prior to promising his Holy Spirit. He says these words, "If you love me, obey my commandments." The one follows the other. Okay, if you love me, obey my commandments. Or in John's Gospel, listen to these words, John 14:21. "Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them." So we all know this. And we all know what it is to be a disciple. And if you're not sure what a disciple of Jesus is, Pastor Paul last Sunday night at the Insight service gave a great one-liner. Do you love one-liners? One-liners are great because we remember them. So listen to these words from Paul Pease that he spoke last week. To be a disciple of Jesus is believing the things Jesus believed and behaving the way Jesus behaved. Quite easy, really, isn't it? To be a disciple of Jesus is to believe the things Jesus believed and behave the way Jesus behaved. There's nothing new here. But I want this morning to look at one verse. A bit radical. Paul said to me before he went away, he said, "You've got a free Sunday. You can do what you want." Now that's, if as a preacher, that's a hard thing. It's like going in a sweet shop and say, "You can have anything." You know, where do you start? Well, this morning, where I'm starting and where I'm going with this sermon is really what God has challenged, what God has brought to me in the last couple of weeks. And it's these words here. This is off my phone, so this is not just me saying it for the sake of it. I've highlighted these words. If you're a friend of mine on Facebook, you'll see that it's my profile kind of backdrop. And it's those words there. Those words there which are highlighted. Verse 16. "This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it." These are the words. These are the words of the prophet Jeremiah. But the words of Jeremiah all those years ago are still relevant and true for us this morning. See, these words were given after the people in the northern kingdom had forsaken their all-loving, all-knowing, true God. See, the people knew the truth and yet chose to follow their own desires or their foreign gods. In this case, the number one god of the day was the god of Baal, the creation god. This is what a commentator has recently said about the Baal god and the worship of Baal. Baal religion revolved around the cycles of nature necessary for survival and prosperity in the ancient world, primarily growing crops or raising livestock, as well as the growth of human populations. Not surprisingly, in an arid and agriculturally marginal area of the world, the fertility of the land and the crops played a large role in the Canaanite worldview. People were in denial that they had a problem, but this also stretched to the religious leaders, who weren't big enough to stand up to the opposition to the one true God. And these words that Jeremiah speaks are just as much or more so to the religious leaders as to the people. And the sad, there's a great promise in this verse, which we'll look at in a moment, but the great sadness and the heartache of the words of Jeremiah here, as we see in those verses following verse 16, is the people didn't want to know. The religious leaders didn't want to know. They wanted to live life their own way and not God's way. So as I said, this verse that is on the screen was a wake-up verse for me as I read it and a great challenge. So as I said a few weeks ago as I preached, when I'm preaching to myself before I preach to you. So I've had to preach this verse and these words to myself over the last few weeks. But just for a moment, I'd like you just to stop whatever you're doing. All right? Get off Facebook if you're on it at the moment. And just listen. Listen. At the moment, in the busyness of our weeks, there are no distractions, or there shouldn't be any distractions now. There's no noise. There's no crying. There's no world news coming our way. Thank God that we're able to take this time out to listen to God. This is the gift that God has given us at this moment, right here, right now, wherever we are in our lives. God wants us all to hear him speak. And these words are certainly him speaking to us. So my first point this morning is the crossroads. We are at a crossroads. We are at a crossroads, as I already said. We're at a crossroads every day of our lives. Jeremiah's challenge to the people and the challenge to us is the same. What are we going to do when we're at these crossroads? Are we going to go, as I said, our way or God's way? Every day we're at these crossroads, and we have to make that decision. Which way are we going to turn? Now, a great song which many of you may love, and you sing it in the bath or in the shower, is I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. You know, no turning back, no turning back. And it's a great song, you know, and you can sort of sing along and dance and move to it. But the truth for all of us is that we need to remind ourselves of the choices we are facing. As, yes, we follow Jesus and we've made that choice 30, 40, 50 years ago maybe. But every day we are faced with that choice, with those crossroads. Or are we going to follow Jesus? So we're at a crossroads because we have the my problem. The me or the my problem, like I say. So we often speak, don't we? And we live with this reality. In the same way that the children had this mirror looking at themselves, we are often looking at things from our perspective. So my world, my life, my day, my time, my job, my family, my worries, my problem. Let's remind ourselves of the Christian response, the Christian worldview to this. It is actually not our world. It is God's world. And our life should be about him. And this is what worship is. When we turn our eyes from ourselves and we turn our eyes to God. So your life and your family are actually gifts from God. And your day and your life and your work are gifts from God. And your worries and your problems are sometimes because we haven't let God be God. And we've taken those problems and those problems, not dismissing these problems we may have, but actually we need to put God in the driving seat and let him take control. So God has given us freedom, and freedom is a gift. It's a gift that was given in the garden of Eden, and it's the same gift that we're given today. With this freedom, we have this crossroads, and we can say, this is your day, Lord, and use me, let me be your servant. Or we can say, it's my day, it's my life, and I'll live life my way. Like I said earlier, the default position for all of us, if we're not careful, is that we will do that automatically, to live life our way in our time. So we're at a crossroads. We're at a crossroads. Or let's look at what Paul the Apostle said. He said, when we're at the crossroads, we need to look back and see what God has done for us. So every day when we're at that crossroads, we do need to look back. We need to look back to see what God has done for us. And the best example of Paul having that crossroads moment was in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view, as in looking back, of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. It's good, pleasing and perfect will. Romans 12 is Paul, before he moves on and he looks forward and he speaks about living life for God, he looks back and he shows what God has done for him, what God has done for the human race. Or to put it another way, it is Eugene Peterson's message of these verses. This is what he comments and says. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. And like the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Same words, just repackaged in Eugene Peterson's message. But Paul was able to look back and see all that God had done. And he says, this is the key verse here, this is the key phrase, in view of God's mercy. And as we look forward, we can see, verse 16, he's standing at the crossroads and then he moves on and he says, look and ask for the ancient paths. See that in the middle of verse 16? So the second point, the first point is the crossroads. The second point is the ancient paths. Ask for the ancient paths. And the ancient path is the people of the time knew exactly what the ancient path was. It was the first five books of the Old Testament. But for us, we have the whole of Scripture. This is our ancient path, which means that we can have at our disposal the whole of the counsel of God, the Word of God, this ancient book. See, in our day and age, ancient brings with it quite negative kind of thoughts. So often when we think of ancient, I don't know if you've ever been described as ancient. I've been described as ancient. It's not pretty. An ancient, something ancient brings with it something being old and out of date. And so as an alternative to that, we think of something being fresh, something being new. Something that is kind of now. And so something being ancient, this idea of an ancient path doesn't sound that appealing. But let's remind ourselves, brothers and sisters, this morning, God is unchanging. And at our core, we as humans are still the same. As the people spoken about 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. So ancient doesn't mean out of date or irrelevant. See, the Bible is still as current, and in our terminology, not just current, but is future-proof. Future-proof. What else in your life do you have which is current and future-proof? Well, often it's a gadget, an electronic device, something that you have, and it'll describe itself as future-proof. When in fact, what the future proof means is it'll be okay for 5 years. But what we see in God's word isn't something that's future proof for 5 years, but is future proof for all time. See, God's word is amazing. It's like we saw in the scriptures, it speaks about itself like honey, sweetness. It's like a love letter. There's all sorts of descriptions of the scripture. To us. So we need to move from the crossroads every day, and I said We can have that option of going our way or God's way, but God's way will lead us to his scriptures. And it's the best place to go. It's better than any sat-nav or GPS. It is our GPS for life and death and beyond. Remind ourselves of some words of scripture, that what it says about itself. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. It's not man-made. It's God-breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Okay, this is much hope. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There's loads, I could go on, and I'm going to go on. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Again, we need to preach these things to ourselves every day when we're at these crossroads. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. John 5, verse 39, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits at the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So we're at a crossroads. We've got two ways to go. But not only we're at the crossroads, we're to go on the ancient path. And then we have, lastly, a great promise. We find rest for our souls. So stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths, Jeremiah says. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. What a promise this is. What a promise this is. See, this is a promise that the Lord Jesus has given, hasn't he? He gave it in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus said these words, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Come to Jesus. If you're weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Well, I don't know many people in this room now who aren't weary and burdened. If we're not now, we have been or we will be. Let's claim and believe this promise of Jesus. But the problem is, you see, the promise is rest. And often we have the wrong idea about what rest is. When I was a young lad, Sunday was seen as the day of rest. It was boring. I thought it was boring. You know, there was never anything good on the TV. In fact, we weren't allowed to watch TV sometimes. And then we had like people around for lunch after church that I didn't like. And it was like seen as like a thing to do. And it was like, oh, this is the day of rest. I wasn't allowed to do homework. Well, that was glorious. That was praise the Lord time. But my idea of rest was totally wrong. So we can have the wrong idea of what rest is. See, we often think of relaxing, or sometimes to use a kind of modern phrase, we see it as a time of chilling out. Or we say, what do we say, going back to this idea of the my thing? We think of it as my time. We think of it as my time. A night in with a box set on Netflix, and this will give me rest. But does it? Does it give us rest? How much of this is Jesus? How much of Jesus is part of this rest? See, when Jesus is at the center, that's how and when we find true rest. Listen to these words from a commentator. God desires rest for us because it does not come naturally to us. To rest, we have to trust that God will take care of things for us. We have to trust that if we take a day off, the world will not stop turning on its axis. From the beginning in Genesis 3, when we decided that we would start making all the decisions, mankind has become more tense and less able to relax. It was disobedience in the garden that started the problem, but obedience now will bring the rest that God so desires for us. If one of the definitions of relax is to become less firm, which is an interpretation of that idea of rest, then relaxing our grip on our own lives, our careers, our families, and giving them over to God in faith is the best way to relax. So we do find it hard to rest. We find it hard to relax, to find rest in God. And it is a crossroads issue, isn't it? It's a crossroads issue to think about where will we find rest. So this morning, a great encouragement for us is that we can find true rest in Jesus. Not from the gym or a box set, but Jesus. That's why we need to realign ourselves to him as we read about him in Scripture. See, we get to know Jesus when we step out of our world and our path and turn to this ancient path. See, people today, I don't know if you've used it, when I was with Insight and when I was an RE teacher, I often said these words, and these are words that you have maybe said as well. These are the words. I often say that the Bible last year was the most printed book. You ever used that one or thought of that one? But you know what? The last couple of years, it isn't the most printed book. You know which it is? IKEA catalogue. The IKEA catalogue. There's more IKEA catalogues in people's homes today than the Bible. And sadly, and this is again a challenge, are we picking up our IKEA catalogues more than we're picking up the Bible? Is our IKEA catalogues more thumbed through than the Bible? Or whatever the equivalent to an IKEA catalogue is for you. You see, because having a Billy bookcase, which is one of the bookcases they sell at IKEA, isn't going to save you, and you're not going to find rest there. All right. Not only is it uncomfortable to sleep in, an IKEA bookcase, but actually, we get what we mean, don't we? The fact is, we need to find rest through Jesus. And we know Jesus as we meditate on his word. And we meditate on his word through a distinct crossroads moment as we decide every day to turn to this ancient path. So let's, again, remind ourselves this morning that there is both a challenge and an encouragement and a great promise. That we are, when we are on this crossroads, where will we turn? Will we go on this ancient path? And when we go on this ancient path, we can know the promise of finding true rest.